This is Wellbeing Well Said, the podcast with me, Sarah Maloof. Join me as I chat with fitness gurus, business owners, wellness experts, and other inspiring individuals as together we dive into what it means to live well. Hi, friends. Welcome to a solo episode of Wellbeing Well Said. I wanted to talk about something different. I don't think that I've ever covered anything quite like this before, but it's something that I have found very relevant in my life. And I'm sure, especially anyone in their like early 20s, having graduated college up through their early 30s, seeking a new career or growing in their career path, has probably encountered times of semi-awkward networking and small talk. So I put those two together because even if it's not business related, like maybe you're listening and you're like, I mean, I'm a stay-at-home mom, or I'm not leaving my career. Like I'm in a position where I'm not trying to network per se, but I think we've all been put in situations where we are trying to small talk and not get next level with somebody. Maybe you're at a Christmas party, or maybe you're tagging along with your spouse to a business dinner, or you're tailgating and someone introduces you to some new people at your tailgate. I mean, who knows? We've all been in situations where we're meeting people for the first time or a repetitive time, but it's not like we're trying to be best friends with them. And it gets a little cringy sometimes. And so today I wanted to talk about how to do that without feeling so cringy. And now don't get me wrong, I'm not an absolute pro at this. We all have moments of awkwardness or just feelings of uncertainty or not feeling you're most confident or anything like that. But I will say, I do think that I'm not the worst at it either. I have been in sales for about 10 years now. I coach and do this podcast. And especially now as an entrepreneur, I'm pretty much constantly being put in situations of networking and introductions and things of that nature. So I wanted to just share a few things that I've learned and try to practice over the years. And like I said, this of course goes to just chit chatting and also networking, but I think also it's very applicable to the written word. Like if you're emailing someone and you're trying to get your point across or network or introduce yourself without being put in an uncomfortable situation or making someone think negatively of you, this goes across the board. So this kind of is in-person / email networking / chit chat. Anyway, don't know that I did the best job setting up the conversation, but hopefully it makes sense so far. And my number one tip to kick this off is cultivating confidence. Now, I think that a lot of us maybe grew up confusing confidence with overconfidence, like meaning cockiness. And I think there's definitely a difference. If you've been around someone who's just arrogant and cocky and full of themselves, like you feel that energy. It feels very different. When you encounter someone who's a confident person, you feel that energy. I know that when someone's confident, if they enter the room, they demand your attention without demanding your attention. Same via email. You can be proud of yourself and confident in what you're saying and how you are presenting yourself without being arrogant. So just get that out of your head. If you think that confidence is a negative thing when it comes to networking and chit-chatting, I think it's one of the most important things because again, people are very sensitive to energies, whether they realize it or not, and can tell a difference if you're not confident in yourself and your words. So one way you can build that confidence is what you're wearing and how you present yourself. And I don't mean that to be vain. I don't think that it's one uniform look across the board either, depending on your industry and your body and where you feel best, how you feel best. This may look like a suit or a business skirt, dress, heels, or this honestly could be your athletic wear. If it's related to what you're doing, of course, or it's just your casual wear, sundress, sandals, it doesn't really matter. But I think that it establishes something. I don't know about y'all, but I've definitely been in the situation where I'm uncomfortable in what I'm wearing, or I don't love what I'm wearing. And it's like all I can think about, which is so silly, but we're human and that happens. And if you don't feel confident in yourself, maybe it's just like an insecurity. Maybe you dressed inappropriately for the occasion. That doesn't mean you have to look like a hoochie mama, but like if you feel insecure that you're wearing something too casual or whatever, it gets in the back of your mind and it's really distracting. And then you can't really present yourself in the best light. And I honestly think that even post 2020, with a lot of us working from home and taking Zoom calls, there's a way that you can do that at home too. I think if you position yourself in a manner that sets you up for how you want to feel, then you're going to present yourself in the way that you want to be presented. So if you're on a Zoom call and you're looking at yourself and you're like, oh my gosh, I look like trash. Like I just woke up. I look not put together. That's going to be something that again gets in your mind. And also the other person will be able to see that. So I also wanted to talk outside of just how you physically look, but also your confidence in how you feel, think, and the knowledge you have to be able to present yourself in these, specifically more in like networking situations. So you will not feel confident if you feel clueless, period. So if you know that you're going into a meeting with maybe an investor, speaking to myself, or an interview, and you haven't done any research on the person or the company, the person that you'll be speaking with, you're going to feel so lost and you're not going to feel confident in how you approach the conversation and approach the circumstance. So I always recommend to do your research when applicable so you can show up confidently in your headspace as well as your physical space based on how you present yourself. Okay, my next thing is major. I honestly should have started this one, but always remember, and this is something I'm constantly reminding myself either when emailing, talking, and this goes across conversations with anyone and everyone, I think, but more of them and much less of you/me. Minimize the use of I, me, my, mine whenever possible and replace it with, you. I even, one time at my prior job, I remember we had a guest speaker come in and speak to the company, and he touched on this idea of putting the other person first and really having that servant mentality, even through your emails, even through your professional emails. And he was like, take out I as much as you can, because I is actually the number one word used, fun fact, when in like emails, Facebook posts, anything, people are always talking about themselves. I mean, y'all know this, we know this. And he was like, take it out whenever you can. And so I've started just a little tip, even because I do think it's a subconscious thing. I'm not sure that there's many people who sit there and get an email or a text from you, especially professionally, and like read how count. Oh, she said I here and here and here and count through it. I don't think it's like that. But subconsciously, if you're reading and you're seeing the other person just mention themselves over and over and over and over and over, it's like, okay, gosh, we get it. And they're not asking or saying anything about you or how that person can help you be there for you. Then, you know, it's subliminally, you're like, okay, this person is really obsessed with themselves, maybe not confident, but just egotistical. And so this person who came and spoke to our company a few years back suggested replacing or removing it whenever possible. So for example, one thing I do now that I've gotten in the habit of when I'm emailing, instead of even making my opening line, I hope this message finds you well, I just say, hope this message finds you well. Little ways that you can just take yourself out of the situation and put it back on the other person, saying like, hey, I care about how you feel and how you're doing today and how I can help you. Especially in conversation, I think a lot of this is when people get nervous. I know I feel like I do this when I get nervous or uncomfortable in situations. I start trying to fill the space. Like I'm uneasy in that lingering space between topics of conversation. So I'll just start talking sometimes. And typically when I do that, I'm saying something about myself or I'm telling a story. But I think it's so important to ask genuine questions and be very curious and listen to understand, not to respond. That's something I constantly am trying so hard to work on, but it's really hard. Humans just tend to want to talk about themselves and one-up stories, even if they don't realize it. If someone tells you something, and you've been maybe in a similar situation and you have a story that could pair with their story, maybe is even better than their story, but it relates to what they just said, unless it's absolutely necessary, or unless you feel like it will actually add to the conversation, sometimes just drop it, you know, and don't bring up your story and instead reply with a question that's open-ended to then get to know them and understand their point of view better. And so I'm always really trying to ask genuine questions. Like if you want to take it professionally, again, I think interviews and networking events are the most applicable, where you can, of course, ask about their personal experience with the company. What led you here? Have you always been in this industry? What's your favorite thing about your job? You know, what have you learned? What's your biggest takeaway? And just things like that, to put it back on them. In turn, you're learning too, and you're getting your questions answered, but it's still putting the ball in their court so they can actually feel listened to and understood. And of course, in turn, it makes that person feel good. Which leads me to, though, don't pretend to understand something you don't. This is something I have learned over the years. And now in my 30s, I care way less than I did in my 20s to just straight up be like, oh, I'm sorry. Can you repeat that? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. And just ask if you don't understand what someone said. Because how many times have we been in this situation where you just kind of smile and do the fake laugh and nod? Like, yeah, totally. And that person's like, okay, they clearly have no idea what I just said, because that makes zero sense as far as a response goes. I'm just like over that, y'all. No one has the time. No one cares. If you're genuinely listening and it's just up in a loud room, maybe, or you have a bad connection, if you're on Zoom or something, just people understand. They don't think you're rude if the circumstance is different than if you're obviously zoned out and then you clearly like haven't listened to a word they said. But if you're genuinely like, I can't hear you, I didn't catch that, I think people are okay with you asking them to repeat themselves, you know, not over and over, but one time or something. It's so much better, I promise, than being on the receiving end of seeing that fake nod and smile when you don't know what's going on. Or if someone references something that you don't know, that's okay. You can just like politely ask them or be honest with them and say like, oh no, I'm actually not familiar with that group, or I've never been to that city, or I've never done that thing. And you don't have to pretend you're someone you're not. And what that does in turn is also allows them to talk more about themselves. And you'll probably learn something along the way, like I said, and they'll feel like you genuinely want to be in that conversation and that it's their opinions and their experiences are being heard. So the foundation of all networking at the end of the day, networking, chit-chatting, small talk, emailing, et cetera, is building relationship. And you might not feel that way because when most people think relationship, I think they start to think of interpersonal relationships, ones that are more meaningful and longer lasting, like with a spouse, with a friend, with a parent, and not necessarily just with a coworker or someone you might bump into here and there at a conference or someone you're emailing as a client. But not all relationships are close-knit relationships or personal relationships, but there's still some form of a relationship because there's dialogue and communication between two individuals. And so being polite, engaging with these individuals, using their name in conversation, that shows that you're listening. That shows that you're being empathetic. I have a friend, if you're listening to this, you know who you are, who is so good about saying my name or anyone's name who she's speaking with repetitively, and not in a crazy bizarre way, but in a way that makes you feel like, oh my gosh, she is here with me. And she's genuinely asking things about me as an individual, as Sarah, because she cares about me. And so following up, touching base, even if you don't need something from them right now, that's a big one, especially if you're in an industry like sales. And I'm so guilty of this. I think anyone who's ever worked in any type of industry has been the person who's guilty of not reaching out to a client or a coworker or someone in your work scenario until you need something back from them. And that doesn't make that person feel seen, heard, or understood. It makes them feel used, you know? And, I think just sometimes touching base, seeing how someone's doing, seeing how your client's doing, or following up with someone you met at a networking event. It was so great to meet you. Thanks for taking the time to speak with me. Or again, maybe in a social setting, next time you see that person being like, hey, how are you? How's, and then fill in the blank with maybe something you can remember you spoke about last time or someone you spoke about, and just offering to continually being there to be a connector too, when given the chance, offering to help or introduce to someone else where you see fit or if you see fit. And again, just not always making it me, but how can I help you? How can I be there for you? And eventually, like I said, if you do this right and you're genuinely interested in other people and you work really hard to ask questions about them and talk way less about you and way more about them, hear them, make them feel understood, build a relationship, all these things in turn, this is not bad to say, I don't think, will eventually help you possibly, because you don't know, 6 months from now, that person might come in clutch with something, with a work offer or, you know, something might happen in your life where you need assistance and that person's there willing to help because you made them feel understood in the past. So that's all I have for you today. If you got any good takeaways that you're actually going to start implementing into your work life or personal life, shoot me a message on Instagram at @SarahMaloof_. Let me know. I'm so curious. I hope I didn't ramble. I hope this makes sense. And I hope that you all have a beautiful rest of your week. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of Wellbeing Well Said, the podcast. If you liked what you heard and you would like to support me, it would mean so much if you would subscribe to the show, rate and review, and spread the word. Tell your friends, tag me on Instagram, all the things. That really does help me grow and helps me create more content that I can put out for you all.